Pedro Pascal has been nowhere to be found in the lead-up to The Mandalorian and Grogu, the next big movie from Star Wars, after a seven-year hiatus. What if we told you that Disney may have been trying to hide him, and now that he's out, well, it's about to get real. Real cringeworthy. What's the latest? Pedro stopped by the final week of Colbert and gave him a kiss right on the lips. Sensual. Is that the way to save Star Wars? Hello, folks, and welcome back yet again to another video of excellence with your friend and pal, Pro. Today we are going where no channel will go. Well, no. Everybody's talking about it. Pedro Pascal went on the Stephen Colbert show and smooched him right on the lips. You got to see the clip. We'll show it to you. I'm sorry. We have to. But folks, Disney might want to put this guy back on ice because he is not nice for the Star Wars PR machine. I'll tell you what we mean. Click the like button. And here we go. Suckering succotash. Would you look at that? A smooch has been landed on live TV. And it's a full lip. Jonas, you spot any tongue in there? No, we can't say that. No, we dare not zoom in.
Please.
We'll do it later for an article.
This isn't mixtape.
Geeks and Gamers has this one. Pedro Pascal promotes The Mandalorian and Grogu by kissing Stephen Colbert on the mouth. You know, that's just not good enough. We really need to get in there. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. That's not the fake cheek-to-cheek. It says, quote, for many online, the moment immediately became meme material. But it also raises another question entirely. How exactly is this helping promote Mandalorian and Grogu to mainstream Star Wars audiences? Now, the question that I would propose to people out there is, how would this be received if Sigourney Weaver did the same thing? Or what if there was an actress in a major movie who went full on, let's make out with a late night host? Would that be well received? I don't think it would be. I think it would be perceived that she had been forced into that situation to market it. And I think it would have a huge backlash. But because Pedro is turning out to be quite, gay, happy. That's what it means, right? I remember the Christmas carols. He's gay, ladies and gentlemen. Well, maybe not. Okay, but this is the worst kept secret in the history of Hollywood. And Disney's been hiding this guy. He comes out, comes out on Stephen Colbert and kisses the guy. And I'm just curious, guys, why they decided right before the Mandalorian movie to make the switch, right? Because this is all marketing. It's all narrative. Drinker, let me go to you first on this. We've all known behind the scenes that Pedro is not the perfect form of heterosexual masculinity, but that was the marketing push for so long. He's peepaw. He's the internet's daddy. Women are fawning over this man. And now, yeah, just before the movie releases, he's out. What's the strategy here, you think?
This is a strange one. I, as you say, it was one of the worst kept secrets in Hollywood. I think I was told a couple of years back that, yeah, he was gay and everyone kind of knew he was, but they just kept it under wraps. I think it was part of his appeal because a lot of the ladies did find him appealing. And, you know, he didn't want to ruin that. He didn't want to potentially lose roles. He didn't want to lose some of his star power by crushing their hopes, I guess. Maybe now the time has come, he just doesn't care anymore. Or maybe he's preemptively getting ahead of criticisms of the movie and he's just going to come out as gay. And then, you know, he can hide behind that as a little shield. You know, if you don't like the movie, well, it must be because you're homophobic, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what the thought process is, whether this was actually part of any sort of marketing strategy or if it was just what he felt like doing in that particular moment. Who knows what goes in the mind of Pedro Pascal?
At great risk, we'll play the clip and then I'll bounce off what you just said, because I do tend to think that this is all, you know, these celebrities, they're managed, right? I mean, it's so managed. And when he comes out with his new boy toy in Spain all the time, this is all part of like a marketing team coming up with this kind of stuff. We'll talk about the strategy. Here's the clip. You all need this, okay? There it is. Ha-ha. Hee-hee-ho-ho. We do the script and here we go. Jonas, are you excited about this?
I've already seen it. We've gotten the screen cap. I guess we got to watch it one more time.
One more time. Jonas, just hang in there, buddy. We'll get through this together. There we go. We even get the little pucker sound, Jonas. We get the sound. That
maybe,
takes...
Maybe they practice. He's just trying to get in the next Lord of the Rings film.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe, yeah. Maybe.
Darn it, that's a good idea.
I think of this, though, like I would say the future success of Pedro's career kind of depends on The Mandalorian and Grogu being a success, because if it isn't, like he's had He's had a few flops recently. Gladiator 2 was a big old disaster. This movie doesn't do well. I don't know. Like, people might decide that he's not really the bankable star that they were hoping for.
Drinker, you're exactly right. He's in his 50s. He was put forth as a blockbuster level star. He's the lead in the Fantastic Four. We thought he was going to be one of the leads for the Avengers movie coming up. He's not that anymore. And so I tend to agree with what you're saying, okay? If I'm a marketing team, separate this out. We're not going to deal with the individual, okay? Separate this out and let's all pretend that Pedro Pascal is a business, because he is. Pedro Pascal makes a lot of money for a lot of people, or at least that's the hope of the dream. So if I'm a marketing team and I see that my star that's supposed to make me a lot of money is struggling at the box office, what's something I might do right now? I might flip the script so that if you are dismissive or negative of Pedro, then I've got a virtue shield for him now. And I can create this new narrative and try to drive the people who are empathetic towards that cause to go see the movie. I think it'll fail terribly, but the cynic inside me thinks this is all part of a marketing switch. Panel, what say you?
You know, it's a funny thing. I don't know where this works. I think that there may be some concentrations of liberal sentiment in some of the big cities, but this is very off-putting to half the audience. If the virtue shield strategy, I'm trying to think of a single production where it's worked. We're now 10 years past Ghostbusters 2016, and the idea of insulting the audience or trying to put some sort of istophobic defense on behalf of a production up, all that does is maybe it's positioning for the next film. This guy has failed in Marvel. I guess Last of Us, he's doing well enough. I don't think he's continuing in that show for obvious reasons. He's got nothing big and marketable on the horizon that is attached to him. I mean, he'll be in Doomsday, but so is half the continent.
Yeah.
I think particularly
once you get to the age that he is, like once you're in your 50s as an actor, you really have to have hit the big time already, because that's when you start to see a bit of a box office decline. That's when you see a decline in popularity. And there's very few that can weather that and carry on working at that high level. You know, guys like Tom Cruise are essentially immortal and indestructible, but Pedro Pascal is no Tom Cruise. And I think maybe partly it's a timing issue. Like, he saw his rise to fame relatively late in his career. Like, I think he was well into his 40s before he really hit the big time in terms of recognition with Game of Thrones and so on. And maybe it was just too little too late, unfortunately. He certainly had this surge. They've really tried to push him over the past year or two. But once you get beyond that, and he's not had any major box office successes as a leading actor, they might just decide, we'll pull the plug on this guy and move on to someone younger and a better prospect.
Well, I, for one, I've been shocked by this. I really thought that he was, you know, Mr. Machissimo, but, you know, the guy who licks the rainbow stick turns out to be gay. But here's the deal, okay? I actually see a parallel with what we're watching here and with Blake Lively. Because what we found out when we were looking at the Blake Lively situation, because people wonder, you know, why do stars do what they do? And once you start seeing them as businesses, it makes more sense. In the Blake Lively situation that just burned down her and may have damaged her husband's career, Ryan Reynolds, you know, once we started looking at that, what was she after in that whole legal affair that didn't make sense from any other standpoint? She wanted a producer's credit. She wanted to be recognized by the guild as a producer and as a director. And by doing so, by getting all of those, it would open up the door to her to more projects in that kind of behind the camera facility at a time when she's aging now into her 40s, where it may be harder. As you said, Drinker, it's difficult for guys once they get, they eclipse the 50s. It's difficult for women once they eclipse the 40s. We're not going to debate whether that's right or wrong. Egalitarianism knows that's aside for a moment. But you start to understand the strategy of what they're up to. 50-year-old guy who now has the virtue shield makes a lot of sense with The Mandalorian. And now we've got a narrative for when it fails. If we assume it's going to fail, we've got a narrative that's based on haters, and that carries us then into the Avengers movie to say, don't be one of the haters, don't join in. It's that kind of thing all over again.
I think that there's an aspect of this as well, that you have to have a person in an appropriate role. I'm going to bring out an obscure person, Margot Martindale, who is an excellent character actress. She rose a little bit more as her career every year, a little bit more. The thing is, you don't pay a lot of money to put Margot Martindale into your production unless you're a very small production. She's someone who shows up and does the work. I think Pedro is in this case where they're trying to make him into a big blockbuster star. And right now, what is it? Fantastic Four is his highest grossing film that made about $500 million at the box office, 250 of that domestically. And it, I don't think that one made its money back considering how long that was in production. Below that is Gladiator. None of this has made him into a household name for good reasons. No one says, oh, that's the guy that is the Mandalorian, which maybe that's why he has his helmet off in the trailers here. But this is a person that they're trying to make him happen. It's not as bad as some of the ones in the past. I mean, Sam Worthington, I think, has done better as Avatar has gone on. What's the guy from that played Kang, where everyone was trying to make him?
Jonathan Majors.
Yeah. No one likes to be told what they're going to enjoy. And that feels like most of Pedro's recent careers, everyone being told you will like this, and everyone hates being told what to like.
I think you were right that they've been trying to push him for quite some time, but recently they've been backpedaling on that. You noticed that up until this last week to week and a half, he was not involved in the Mandalorian marketing. And then when he did start coming out, one of the things that he started saying was, well, gosh, I sure hope that I get to keep playing this character because I've played him for so long, kind of letting up on the marketing stuff that they had been setting up as the Mandalorian might die. You know, I'm sort of wondering if he's deliberately trying to sabotage the campaign at the end because he knows this is the end for him.
It's so funny when he talks about having played the character for so long, because he's in the later seasons, he wasn't even playing him. He was just doing the voiceover for him.
He's a voice actor. He's Jim Cummings, right? That's what this guy is.
And it's not even, well, it is his voice, but it's then filtered through that sort of tinny speaker Vox system like that he has in his helmet. And so it could be anyone. Like, I don't listen to Pedro Pascal's voice in The Mandalorian show and think, oh, wow, that's undefinably Pedro Pascal. You know, it's just, it's generic.
It's flat delivery. Pedro.
The character works better when it's flat delivery. Everyone is putting their guess at what his emotions are. So him with the helmet off, scowling at somebody, worked against the character in a way that I don't think they're anticipating. The same as having this Hutt speak English. It ruins the charm of the entire situation.
I think the problem that they've had as well in Hollywood is that they've tried to pitch him all wrong. They've tried to sell him as this like stoic, masculine, tough guy kind of actor, like, you know, playing things like Joel in The Last of Us, playing Acacius in Gladiator 2, and that's not his personality at all. We often refer back to like the lick and the glow stick thing, but like he's a much more like effeminate kind of fluffy jumper kind of guy, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's like, just lean into it, embrace what he really is rather than trying to sell a lie to people. Because I think
be the true Pedro.
Yeah, exactly. Just be yourself. You'll do better.
Lauren, over and under. Do we get a Mandalorian makeout scene with one of the Hutts? Is that happening now?
Oh, come on, man. You didn't have to put that into my head this morning.
And yet again, folks, we have come to the end. But what a video it has been, and we hope you agree. Folks, if you had a good time with us, consider clicking that like button, share, subscribe, click it, stick it to the algorithms. It is the notification bell, and drop a comment right on down below. We care about your thoughts. Folks, we also want to invite you to partake in thatparkplace.com. Of course, www. You get the idea. Thatparkplace.com. It is the website telling the truth, and it is a rising star across the web for pop culture news coverage and analysis. Go over there and bookmark it today. Folks, we're bookmarking you as a great guest that we appreciate. Until the next time we have the honor of spending time with you, keep learning, keep growing, and as always, folks, you better believe it, keep having fun.